Bethel. If any of you study any Hebrew, Beth means house and El is God. This is the house of God. So dreams. As the children and I were talking, all of us have dreams. Some of us have waking dreams. Our waking dreams are those, our hopes, our fears, kind of what are you going to be when you grow up dreams? How many of you had what are you going to be when you grow up dreams? How many of you became what you dreamed and hoped you would be? I had no idea this is what I would grow up to be. This was a complete surprise for me. But sleeping dreams are a very different thing. Sleeping dreams are those places where we finally let go of control because we're asleep. There's study that says we can control our dreams, but we really are not in control when we are asleep. And we are available to listen to what God has to say to us. So I want you to picture this time for Jacob. We might think that it was a very good time for Jacob. He's on the road to find a wife. But let's rewind just a little bit. You see, what happened, Wes, as he read from Genesis last week, he took the birthright of his brother Esau. Well, what happens just before he leaves this land? His mother and Jacob work to get the blessing because his father, Isaac, is very ill and in bed and wants to impart the blessing of his inheritance onto his eldest son. And remember what we heard last week? That Esau was rather hairy. So they get all sorts of skin and put it on Jacob's body. And he goes into his father, and his father grabs his arm and feels the hair. So he figures it's his oldest son. And he imparts the blessing of inheritance upon the youngest son. Now, how many of you are oldest child? If you found out your younger sibling just took your whole, not only your birthright, but your whole inheritance away from you, would you be very happy? Esau was not very happy. So Rebekah says to her son, she says, I think you better go to my brother Laban in Haran and get out of your brother's hair for just a little bit. Because if you put some distance between you and him, maybe peace can come later. Now, distance, brothers and sisters, was 750-mile distance from his brother. But what Rebekah tells Isaac is, I don't want Jacob to marry the women in this place. Why don't we send him to my brother so he can get a wife there? So as Jacob is heading off, and he gets to that first night of this long journey before him, he goes to a place where he gets tired and decides to go to sleep. And you got to imagine that he's a little bit restless. He's a little bit uncomfortable. He's leaving everything he knows, everyone he knows. Yes, he's got all of this possibility of a future with him, but he's going in fear of what his brother will do to him much more than he's thinking about the wife he is going to get. So he goes and he lays down. And you know, he might have this dream of his future, of what it's to look like. But as the song goes, I don't know how many of you are children of the 70s, but as the song goes, maybe the song will go. Well, anyway, if you had heard it, he thinks he's buying his stairway to heaven. But God has another vision and another plan. So as Jacob enters into this time of dreams and he sees that stairway to heaven, because the Hebrew really is stairway more than it is ladder, as he sees that stairway to heaven, God is standing beside him, and God is saying to him, Jacob, I promise you everything. I promise you this land. I promise that your descendants will be the same that I promised Abraham. But Jacob, you have to go where you're going. And then God says, even in the midst of that, I will be with you. Because as the summer unfolds, we will hear. As the summer unfolds, we will hear the rest of Jacob's story. And Joseph's story. Though God makes a promise for us and dares us to dream into that promise, it's never, ever an easy road. And we have to be fearlessly faithful to the promise and the dream that God has for us. And when Jacob wakes up, did you hear what he said? God was in this place and I did not even know it. Brothers and sisters, God is in this place. God is here and planted a people to be his faithful servants 230 some odd years ago. And God had a plan and a purpose for who he calls his children here. And God has asked that we be the blessing to this community. God has called us into this place, this time, and asked us to share with those in here his salvation. But the thing about visions and purposes and dreams for the future of a community, a future of hope, a future of peace, and a future of love, is that it's hard work. Because each and every one of us has a different dream of what that future would look like. Think about Jacob. Jacob had the inheritance. He had kind of, when he left on the run, it was like he robbed the bank. He had it all with him. Yes, he went to a strange land to find a wife, and he comes back, and we're going to hear the rest of the story later. But he had a different vision of what God was going to do, what he was going to do with that money. And God turned it around and had a whole unique story to tell us. The story of God's love for us. God used Jacob and the family of Abraham to be the bridge between Eden, which we got kicked out of, and the new Jerusalem that is coming. But that dream will be an empty dream if we don't step into it. If we don't put hands and feet and hearts and minds and voices into the conversation of the world. As we prayed this morning, did you think about all the pain and suffering that is in the world? Did you think about all the pain and suffering that is in our nation? Did you think about all the pain and suffering that is right here in this place? God has equipped us, has created us, has pulled us together to be this very odd-shaped and unique family of God here. But that means here in this place, we have all the gifts and graces and skills to do what God has promised and has dreamed for this place. But what he asks of us is to dare to dream. And not to dream little pint-sized dreams that we think we can do because, well, our budget is this big. Or because we're this old. Or because, and we minimize God's ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to have a God-sized dream here in this place. I spent 5, 6, 7 days with the youth of our conference. Some of them from families of great wealth. Some of them from families of extreme poverty. And what I heard in the midst of that is their desire to be servants of God. That they believed that they could make a difference in the world, and they believed it because of the people who surrounded them. Here in Vance County, what do the statistics say about our schools, about crime, about who we are, about even those without voice and multiple legs than two. Here in this place, all I hear is what is wrong. Here in this place, we have people who can make a difference, who can dream a God-sized dream of what this community can look like. I did not get born here. I was not raised here, but how many can say it looks the same today that it did when you were born? The promise of the land and the promise of what was here when you first came is not what we have today, is it? Outside of these walls and even some inside these walls have a desire to know how loved and important they are, have a need to be healed, have a need to know that they are a valued child of God and that God is not a God of the probable. He is the God of the impossible. He had a God-sized dream with a man who cheated his way into his inheritance. And that God-sized dream this many years ago is still unfolding. But brothers and sisters, here in this place, there are people who are hurting, and we have the capacity to bring healing by sharing and witnessing how Christ has transformed our lives. We can get mixed up in the crap of things and complain and gripe and move into those places of discovering every obstacle that could get in our way of fulfilling God's dream. Or we could say, well, wait a minute. That's a probable obstacle, but let's look for the solution and allow God to move in and through us. We are so on the brink of a great and glorious dream that God has for this place. But it might mean that we have to make some changes. Jacob had to make a whole lot of changes in his life. He had to travel 750 miles to get a wife and still didn't get the one he wanted at first. But to change means that we're going to be uncomfortable. That in the midst of change, there is going to be chaos. There's going to be hurt feelings. But if we can together create and see that vision for God, that dream God has here for us, and love God enough and love one another into it, then we can get through the stuff. I won't use the C word again. We can get through the stuff that gets in the way. We listened to Isaiah and how God removed the barriers that were of bronze and of iron. God will remove the barriers from us if we are willing, like Jacob, to travel that distance, to leave everything that makes sense and is comfortable and move into his promise. If it means we hear music we don't like, if it means that maybe sometimes we see words projected on the walls, if it means we have Wi-Fi, if it means that people that don't look like us are in our pews, if it means that we're feeding people who are hungry, clothing people who are naked, housing people who are homeless, repairing homes that need repair, if we are meeting the needs, and then we hear where we can give a voice, because some of you have great voices and great minds and can write great things. We can speak to our state. We can speak to our nation. Because when you say the church is not political, it is the most political thing in the world, because we stand as Christ calls us to stand against injustice wherever it is, whether it's in a home, whether it's in our nation, whether it's in our state, whether it's in our county. But we stand with Christ wherever we are called. So, brothers and sisters, I believe with all that God has called me to do and say and be, that right here, right now, God has a God-sized dream for our lives. that we as a body can make a difference where we are planted. And I have even seen evidence of it in each and every one of you, in your grandchildren, in your great-grandchildren, and even in your children, that you have made a difference here. But he's calling us for a bigger vision, a bigger dream. So my prayer is that we be in prayer until that September meeting, when we gather together over some tables of food and share with one another how God has called us to dream. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.